الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اعلم رحمك الله أن التوحيد هو إفراد الله سبحانه وتعالى بالعبادة وهو دين الرسل الذي أرسلهم الله به إلى عباده. The author he began رحمه الله تعالى with the basmala, saying بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, meaning with the name of Allah, seeking His help and seeking His aid and seeking His blessing, with the name of Allah, who is the most gracious and the most merciful, I began this treatise. He began, rahimahullah ta'ala, after that saying, ya'lam, that you must know. And if this is something that you must learn, and you must know with certainty. I'lam, yani ta'allam wa tayaqqan minhu. I'lam, know. Rahimakallah, may Allah have mercy on you. After this, he makes a supplication and dua, which is from the methodology of the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, in a number of treaties, and in reality this is the methodology of the people of knowledge who have preceded him from the early generations of the scholars of hadith, that many times they would begin their advice and their works in this manner, making supplication for the student and for the reader and for the listener. And this is an indication that the one who is speaking is sincere and truthful, and he's hoping good for the one who is listening or learning. That the teacher here, he is making supplication and dua for goodness for the student. And this is a sign of sincerity, that not only is he seeking to help the person, but likewise he's supplicating for him that Allah will have mercy on him. I'lam rahimakallah, you must know, may Allah have mercy on you. Meaning may Allah forgive you your past sins and overlook your faults and mistakes and grant you success to be upright in the future. And from this point forward, this is from the meaning of this great supplication. Rahimakallah, may Allah have mercy on you. Anna tawheeda huwa ifradullahi bil ibadah. That at tawheed, it is to single out Allah alone with all actions of worship. That at tawheed is to single out Allah alone with all actions of worship. Wa huwa deenu rusul. And this is the religion and the deen of all of the messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, alladhi arsalahum Allahu bihi ila ibadihi, that Allah has sent them with to his slaves, that Allah has sent them with to his slaves. So in this very first portion of the introduction of this great beneficial treatise, the author is indicating to a few great principles. The first one is the definition of a tawheed. The tawheed that is required and considered for a person to be a Muslim and to enter paradise and to be safe from abiding in the hellfire. And that is to single out Allah alone with all actions of worship. And this is the meaning of the statement, La ilaha illallah. The meaning of this statement, La ilaha illallah, is just this, to single out Allah alone with all actions of worship. Meaning that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the meaning of the statement of at-tawheed, the statement of ikhlas, or the statement of al-Islam. And the second point that he's mentioning is that this tawheed here is the religion and the deen of all of the messengers who have preceded, that Allah has sent to his slaves. So this point here is very important to realize and to understand with regards to refuting the doubts and misconceptions that the enemies of at-tawheed they have. First and foremost, the interpretation of the statement La ilaha illallah, and the correct understanding of the tawheed that the prophets and messengers alayhim as-salatu was-salam was sent with. And the tawheed, the aspect and the reality of at-tawheed that will bring a person into Islam, that will bring a person into al-Islam, and that which will make his blood safe and his property and his honor and his wealth safe. And that is the Tawheed of al-Ibadah. Tawheed al-Ibadah, to make all of the worship for Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the people of Dhan, as they mentioned, that al-Tawheed masdarun li fi'li wahada yuwahidu wahid tawheedan. Tawheedan, ay ja'ala shay'an wahidan. Ja'ala shay'an wahidan. That al-Tawheed, linguistically, it's the masdar. It's the verbal noun, and the verb is وَحَّدَ يُوَحِّدُ, to make something one. تَوْحِيدًا تَوْحِيدًا, and the tawheed means to single out something and to make it one. To single out something and to make it one. This is linguistically. This is linguistically. With regards to the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, then it is understood in two main aspects. And two main aspects, and that is an aspect that is related to knowledge and understanding, and an aspect that is related to implementation and application. And this is the portion that the author is speaking about. And the first one, it necessitates and requires the second. And a person, he cannot realize the second except by first understanding the first aspect. And from this reason, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he has mentioned that Tawheed al-Rububiyya bawabatu Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, that understanding the Lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal and His greatness and His majesty, this is the gateway to deifying Him and worshiping Him alone and loving Him and singling Him out for all actions of worship. So the point now to understand is that Tawheed is in two main aspects, that we must understand the Tawheed in two main aspects. One aspect is with regards to knowledge. It's called At-Tawheedu Al-Ilmi. At-Tawheedu Al-Ilmi, the knowledge-based Tawheed. And then the second aspect of At-Tawheed is known as At-Tawheedu Al-Amali. At-Tawheedu Al-Amali, the implementation and the application of At-Tawheed. The implementation and the application of At-Tawheed. So with regards to the first part, التوحيد العلمي, التوحيد العلمي, the knowledge-based tawheed, this includes knowing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is including knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing Him by His Lordship and by His actions, knowing that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the Creator, and He is the Sustainer, and He is the Provider of everything in this universe, and He is the one who has given everything its shape and its form, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He has the ultimate command and authority, and nothing happens in His creation and in His kingdom except with His permission, subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to His ultimate knowledge and supreme wisdom, and that Allah Azza wa Jal, He has the most beautiful names and the most lofty attributes of perfection, and He has no deficiency whatsoever in any of His attributes. And He has the perfect life, subhanahu wa ta'ala, a life of perfection. It has no deficiency in it whatsoever. And He is al-awwal, alladhi laysa qablahu shay. He is the first, the one whom there is nothing before Him. Meaning, huwa al-hay, alladhi la yamut. He is the one who is alive and He never dies. He does not have a beginning. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is always alive, always powerful, always strong, always knowledgeable and supreme in knowledge, and likewise in wisdom. He's always the Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is alive and He never dies, and His life is never preceded by death, and there is no weakness whatsoever in His life or deficiency, and He needs nothing, yet everything needs Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, He is al-akhir, alladhi laysa ba'dahu shay. Al-akhir alladhi laysa ba'dahu shay, and He is the last, the one whom there is nothing after Him. And also from His beautiful names, al-baqi, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who remains. Meaning Allah Azza wa Jal, He is alive and He never dies. And He is the first and there's nothing before Him. And likewise, He is the last and there's nothing after Him. His life has no ending. His life has no beginning. He's always alive and powerful and strong. This is the Lord of the worlds, the Rabb, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is that first aspect of it, Tawheed. This includes these affairs. Likewise, knowing that Allah, He is the one who gives life, and He is the one who gives death, and He is the one who sends the rain from the sky, and He is the one who is bringing the crops from the ground, and He is the one who is providing for the animals, and He is the one who is providing for you and I and our family, and all of the good that we have in this life, in our worldly affair, and in our health, and our wealth, and our prosperity, and our safety, and our security, and likewise in our families, and everything that we have in our religion, from guidance and understanding. All of this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the provider and the sustainer. He is the one who gives blessings. He is the one who has the ability to harm and to benefit. And no one can benefit you except with His permission, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one can harm you except with His decree, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is the reality of at-tawheed al-ilmi. To summarize, this is the reality of at-tawheed al-ilmi. To summarize, and if we look at it in detail, we will see that this aspect of at-tawheed includes two parts, and that is tawheed al-rububiyyah and tawheed al-asma'i wa sifat. Tawheed al-rububiyyah wa tawheed al-asma'i wa sifat. So these two aspects of tawheed, they're included here. What is intended from tawheed al-rububiyyah and what is intended from tawheed al-asma'i wa sifat is to know Allah. Is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the greatest blessing. And this is the greatest favor. And this is the greatest bounty. And this is the greatest mercy, to know your Creator. To know Him in a manner that He has clarified to His creation. To know Him in a manner that He's pleased with. To know Him properly. To know Him by His tawheed. أَوَّلُ وَاجِبٍ عَلَى الْعَبِيدِ مَعْرِفَةُ الرَّحْمَنِ بِالْتَوْحِيدِ مَعْرِفَةً بِالْعِلْمِ وَالْعَمَلِ. To know Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost by way of this knowledge, correct and sound knowledge. Knowledge that is based and derived and come from the revelation, that which Allah has revealed about Himself. That which Allah has revealed about Himself to His prophets and messengers, alayhi musallatu wassalam, and to His final messenger and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To know Him in this manner with knowledge, with certain knowledge. And likewise, after that, to worship Him based upon that knowledge. To worship Him based upon that knowledge, this is the second aspect of a tawheed, and tawheed al-amali, the application, the implementation of a tawheed. And that requires now, after a person, he realizes that which has preceded, that Allah, He is the creator and the sustainer and the provider and the one who gives life and the one who gives death. He is the one who raises and He is the one who lowers whom He wills. He is the one who honors and He is the one who humiliates whom He wills. And no one can have status and honor and rank, and no one can be lowly and humiliated except by His permission and His decree. And everything that He decrees is based upon His wisdom and based upon His knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who realizes these affairs, and he realizes that Allah, He is the one who is alive and never dies, and He is the one who is causing the sun to come up in the sky over the horizon, and He is the one who is causing it to set, and nothing happens in His creation except with His permission. Nothing happens in His creation except with His permission. The one who realizes these affairs, then he will single out all actions of worship for Allah alone. He'll put all of his faith and his love and his trust and his reliance and his hope and his fear in Allah alone. And he will devote all actions of worship to Allah alone, because now he will realize that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. So to understand the aspects of a tawheed is very important. And to realize them and to know them is the reason and the wisdom from the creation. And this is what all of the prophets and messengers, they were sent with. They were sent with this tawheed. They were sent with this tawheed. So they called their people to worship Allah alone. And the means that they call them to do that is to clarify to them the greatness and the majesty of Allah by realizing His lordship and His beautiful names and attributes. By realizing His lordship and beautiful names and attributes. But the point the author is making here now, to emphasize the second aspect, because if a person, he were to believe in the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal, and even to believe in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then after that he did not implement that properly, it will not benefit him. The belief alone without the proper action and implementation, it will not benefit a person. To believe that there's only one creator and that Allah alone, He is the provider and sustainer, this here is not enough to enter a person into Islam. And it's through this call that they clarify the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla to be worshipped alone. And this is what they call to. They call to worshiping Allah alone and singling out Allah alone. And from the means of realizing that is to understand this aspect of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and Tawheed al-Asma'i wa Sifat. To understand that Allah, He's the provider and the sustainer. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's alive and He never dies. He has the attributes of perfection. He knows and He hears and He sees all things. No one can overcome Him nor escape Him. And He is aware and He knows all things. And nothing happens except with His permission. So the one who believes in this and then he calls on a grave, or he believes in this and then he calls on a prophet, or he believes in this and then he calls on an angel, this belief here would not benefit him, and he did not truly believe. And he did not truly believe because now he is directing some of that right that that belief necessitates to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. To other than Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, one must no doubt understand these affairs and have this proper creed and belief with regards to a tawheed al-ilmi, knowing Allah Azza wa Jal, knowing Him by His rububiyyah and His lordship, and knowing Him by His asma' al-husna wa sifat al-ula, knowing Him by His beautiful names and His beautiful attributes, and then working accordingly. And this means that one, he will single out all actions of worship for Allah alone, beginning with the worship of the heart, making all of his faith and his trust and his reliance, his love for Allah alone. For Allah alone, his hope and Allah alone, his fear and Allah alone. This is from the most important aspects. And based upon that, now he will make his prayer for Allah alone, and his charity for Allah alone, and his slaughtering for Allah alone, and his seeking of knowledge for Allah alone, and his teaching for Allah alone, and his calling and advising for Allah alone in this manner. Whenever a person, he knows Allah, and then he attaches his heart to Allah alone with love and hope and fear and trust and reliance. So this two aspects here is very important. At-tawheed al-ilmi wa at-tawheed al-amali. At-tawheed al-ilmi, the knowledge-based tawheed, this includes tawheed al-rububiyyah and tawheed al-asma'i wa sifat. Tawheed al-rububiyyah, the tawheed of the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal. To sing that Allah alone in all of His actions, tabaraka wa ta'ala, that He alone He creates, that He alone He provides, that He alone He sustains, that He alone He gives life, that He alone He gives death, that He alone He sends the rain from the sky. It is He alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who causes the sea to split, fariqu al-habbi wa nawa. Alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He alone brings the light and causes the daytime to come, and He alone causes the night to come and the daylight to go away. This is all from the actions of Allah Azza wa Jal. He is the one who has authority and command over these affairs. And also to know that all of His names are beautiful, the most beautiful names. That Allah Azza wa Jal, He has the most beautiful names. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. He has all of the most beautiful names. Meaning that these are the most beautiful names of perfection, and all of them include a beautiful attribute of perfection likewise. And none of His attributes are deficient whatsoever. He has no deficiency and no weakness. He has no shortcomings, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the creator. He's not created. He is alive and He never dies. He needs nothing. He provides and He's not provided for. If we worship Him, it does not benefit Him. And if we disobey Him, we do not harm Him. He needs nothing. As-Samadul Ahad, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This knowledge here is summarized in that point. At-Tawheed al-Ilmi. At-Tawheed al-Ilmi. The one who realizes this now and he learns this now and he's been guided to this now, he must implement that and attach his heart with love to Allah. And now he loves Allah because Allah, He is his provider. Allah, He created him and formed him and shaped him in the womb of his mother. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. It is Allah, He is the one who forms you in the wombs as He wills. So the one who realizes this, that Allah, He formed me in the womb of my mother as He willed. It is Allah who has been providing me for my very life and my breath ever since I was brought into this existence. And then whenever I was brought into this existence and I came out of the womb, this life is all provided for me. And everything was already here. And the skies were already built strong and sturdy. And the rain is already coming. And the provision is in the lands. And the lands, they're wide and spread out. And there's many animals and crops for me to benefit from. Rizqan lakum. Rizqan lakum, provision for you. That this is from the provision of Allah Azza wa Jal for me. And that this is a reality that one must testify to. And then he will thank Allah. And then he will thank Allah Azza wa Jal. His eyesight that he has is so beneficial and good. And he has so much good from being able to see. And his hearing is so beneficial and good. And he has so much benefit from being able to hear. And his mind and his thought and his well-being and his conscience and ability to think and to reflect is such a great benefit. So all of this is from Allah. So now he will realize that Allah, He is the Lord. That Allah, He is Rabbul Alameen. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen. So therefore he will praise him and thank him and love him. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. And whatever bounty you have or blessing is all from Allah. It's all from Allah. وَأَنْتَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا. And if you're trying to count all of those bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal, you could not enumerate them. So the one who realizes this again, he will understand now that he must be thankful to Allah. This will cause him to love Allah. This will cause him to hope for more bounties and more blessings. This will cause him to be afraid that the bounties may be taken away from him or stripped from him because of his own shortcomings. From the supplication of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawari ni'matika. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you that your bounties will be taken from me. Min zawari ni'matika, that your bounties would go away. The blessings that you have given me would go away. The greatest blessing that we should be afraid of that would go away is the blessing of a tawheed. Is the blessing of a tawheed. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawari ni'matika wa tahawwuli 'afiyatika wa fujaa'ati niqmatika wa jami'i sakhafika. This is from the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is tawheed, realizing that the bounty is from Allah, it's in the hands of Allah, and if He wills, He will take it from us, and if He wills, He will provide us greater and more. So the one who realizes this first aspect of tawheed, now he will put his trust and faith and reliance in Allah. He'll put his hope in Allah, and he will show thanks to Allah by singling out Allah alone with all actions of worship. By singling out Allah alone with all actions of worship. In this manner, one will draw near to Allah. In this manner, one, he will fulfill his purpose in life. The purpose in life is to worship Allah. And this comes from knowing Allah. So the first one is the means and the gateway for the second aspect. The second aspect is at-tawheed al-amali. At-tawheed al-amali. The implementation of tawheed, the application of tawheed, the applicable aspect of tawheed, applying it in one's life. And this is called tawheed al-ibadah. This is what he's referring to here. وَعْلَمْ رَحِيمَكَ اللَّهِ أَنَّ التَّوْحِيدِ هُوَ إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ هُوَ إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ. You must know, may Allah have mercy on you, that a tawheed, meaning the tawheed that will benefit you and enter you to paradise by the permission of Allah, is ifradu Allahi bil ibadah, to single out Allah alone with all actions of worship. To single out Allah alone with all actions of worship. To direct every aspect of worship to Allah alone and nothing from the creation. To Allah alone and nothing from the creation. This is called tawheed al ibadah, or tawheed al ubudiyyah. Likewise, it's called Tawheed Al-Uluhiyyah, or sometimes Tawheed Al-Ilahiyyah. All of these names are very similar. Al-Uluhiyyah means divinity. The one who is divine, this is Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And divinity, the one who possesses divinity, what that means is that he has the attributes of perfection. He has the attributes of the divine. The one who has divinity, he is divine. This is Allah Azza wa Jal alone, meaning he has the attributes of perfection, no deficiency whatsoever. He's the one who possesses the attributes of perfection, no deficiency whatsoever. Therefore, he deserves to be worshipped. This is what it means to be divine in the English language. And this is called al-uluhiyyah. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he is the one who has the uluhiyyah. He is al-ilahu al-haq. He is al-ilahu al-haq. He is the true God. He is the true God. He's the one who rightfully possesses divinity. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from the interpretations of this beautiful name, the great name, the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah, that which has been narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, ذُو الْعُلُوهِيَّةِ وَالْعُبُودِيَّةِ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. And this is from the interpretation of that term, of this beautiful word. What does that mean? What does the name of Allah mean? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentioned, ذُو الْعُلُوهِيَّةِ وَالْعُبُودِيَّةِ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. The possessor of al-uluhiyyah, the one who possesses al-uluhiyyah, and likewise, al-ubudiyyah upon the entire creation. The one who possesses uluhiyyah, meaning that he is the one who has the attributes of perfection. He is the one who has the perfect life with no deficiency whatsoever, and the perfect attributes with no shortcomings or faults whatsoever. And likewise, he is the one who has the right to be worshipped alone over the entire creation. This is Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-ilahu al-haq, al-ma'bud, al-Haq. He's the true Lord. He's the true God. He's the one who's worshipped in truth, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything that's worshipped besides him is falsehood and not worthy of worship. Everything that's worshipped besides him is falsehood and not worthy of worship. So this is the case here. This is the case here, again, to emphasize, the one who believed in the first aspect, but he did not implement it, that belief will not benefit him. The belief will not benefit until it's implemented in one's life, until one, he applies the tawheed. That's why he said here, إِعْلَمْ رَحِيمَكَ اللَّهِ أَنَّ التَّوْحِيدَ هُوَ إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ هُوَ إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ You must know, may Allah have mercy on you, that التوحيد is to single out Allah alone with worship. To single out Allah alone with worship. So it's not that the Shaykh is not unaware of these other aspects of Tawheed, but he's mentioning the one that is the point, and the one that will decide whether a person he's a believer or a disbeliever, whether a person he's a Muslim or a kafir, whether the person he's from the people of paradise or from the people of the fire, whether a person is from the follower of the prophets and messengers, alayhim salatu wassalam, or whether he's from those who oppose them. This tawheed here, the action, the implementation of that, this is the one that will determine the affair. Likewise, as well, barakallahu fikum, even if a person, he were to realize the first one and then implement the second one, the success and the goodness of the implementation of the second aspect will only be according to the first aspect. So the one who does apply the tawheed and he does sing with Allah alone in worship, and he becomes from the muwahideen, he becomes from the muslimin, he becomes from atba' al-rusul, the followers of the messengers and prophets, his status and rank with regards to that, and his ability to implement that, and his steadfastness upon that will be based upon the first affair, any his knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla and understanding. His knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla and understanding in his rububiyyah and in his al-asma'i wa sifat. So the second one is based upon the first one. And according to the first one, will determine the strength of the second one in this manner. And this is why the people of knowledge, they will say, مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ كَانَ مِنْهُ أَخْوَفْ وَلِعِبَادَتِهِ أَطْلَبْ وَعَنْ مَعْسِيَتِهِ أَبْعَدْ مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ كَانَ مِنْهُ أَخْوَفْ The one who has more knowledge of Allah, he knows Allah more, then he will fear Him more. Meaning the more a person knows about the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Tawheed al-Ilmi, Tawheed al-Ma'rifa wal-Ithbat, Tawheed al-Rububiyya, Tawheed al-Asma'i wa Sifat, the more he knows about these affairs truthfully, and the more his knowledge is grounded and sound and firm in his heart, the knowledge of this Tawheed will cause him to fear Allah more. And Allah, He mentioned in His book, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى It is only the ulama, the people of knowledge, who truly fear Allah from His slaves. And the ones who really reach the high level of fear of Allah and reverence and love for Allah are the scholars. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى The people of knowledge. They're the ones who truly fear Allah and truly revere Allah and truly magnify and honor and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner prescribed, in the proper manner, in the good manner. This is because of their knowledge. فَمَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ كَانَ مِنْهُ أَخْوَفْ The one who has more knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, he will have more fear of Him. So the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal that is beneficial, it is the one that will produce the khashya and the khawf in the heart of a slave. The one, the knowledge, this first knowledge here, the knowledge of the Tawheed al-Ilmi, Tawheed al-Rububiyya, with Tawheed al-Asma'i wa Sifat, whenever this is beneficial is whenever it produces fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. It produces fear, it'll bring fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the heart will cause a person to fear Allah. But a person, whenever he fears Allah, he will realize now. The person who knows Allah and then he fears Allah, he will realize with that he cannot flee from Allah. He cannot hide from Allah. He cannot go anywhere in the creation where Allah cannot see him, because now he knows Allah by His beautiful names and attributes. And from that He is As-Sami'. He is the one who hears all things. And from that is Al-Khabir, Al-Latif. He is the one who knows all of the intricate and minute details of this life. He is Al-Alim, Alimul Ghaibi wa Shahada, Al-Kabirul Muta'al. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will realize these affairs and he will have no place of refuge and no place of safety to run to or to flee to except to Allah. except to Allah Azza wa Jal, except to Allah Azza wa Jal. So then he will flee to Allah with obedience, with humbleness, and with servitude, with trust, and with reliance, and with fear. And this is the reality of Tawheed. And this is Ifradullahi bil-ibadah. And this comes from having knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. It comes from studying the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with the people of the Sunnah. Studying in the proper and the correct manner. Until one he has a good understanding of this affair from the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then he knows his Lord. And then he knows his Lord. And then he, whenever he's asked, Man Rabbuk? He will be able, Rabbi Allah, Alladhi Rabbani, wa Rabba Jamil Alameen bi ni'amihi. هو معبودي ليس لي معبود سوى هو معبودي ليس لي معبود سوى. He will understand these affairs. He will know what he's saying. Whenever he says آمنت بالله, he knows what he's saying. He knows who Allah is. He knows who Allah is, and he knows what it means to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. ثم استقيم. Then be upright. This all now will come to reality. آمنت بالله. This is Tawheed. And then be upright, be steadfast in application of that. All of this is here. This is the same aspect here at Tawheed. They say, our Lord is Allah, and then they're steadfast and upright in what that requires. And what that requires. This is the application of the Tawheed. This is the application of the Tawheed. So the previous point that I was hoping to make, that we understand that even if a person is from the people of a Tawheed, his Tawheed will only be correct and strong and really beneficial whenever he truly knows Allah. So the first aspect is the gateway and the means for the second aspect. To truly deify Allah, to put one's faith and trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla wholeheartedly requires to know Him. And the more one knows Him and knows about Him and knows about His beautiful names and attributes, and likewise knows Him from His creation as well, and pondering over one's own self and one's own family and one's own circumstances and situations that he finds himself in, and looking at the creation around him, and then again pondering over the Quran specifically, and likewise the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one will come to know Allah. One will come to know Allah, and then after that he will start to fear Allah and draw near to Allah. And this is the true knowledge. Drawing near to, knowing Allah by way of worshiping Him. Knowing Allah by way of trusting and relying upon Him. Knowing Allah by way of seeking His help and His aid. Knowing Allah by surrendering to Him and submitting to Him and bowing down to Him and complying to Him and fighting one's soul to be obedient to Him in public and in private. In public and in private. This is the sweetness of life. This is the sweetness of life. So this is what he's saying here. And this is so very important, because many of the people who have went astray, they have misinterpreted it, Tawheed. They have misinterpreted Tawheed, and they have sufficed with understanding it, Tawheed, as being the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, that there's no creator except for Allah. Although this is true, this is not the meaning and the intent from the Tawheed, and this was not the message and the call of all of the prophets and messengers. This was not the message and the call of all of the prophets and messengers. Rather, the people, they already believe in that. The people in general, this is something in the fitrah of the human being that Allah has created and ingrained and ingrained in the souls, that they know that they have a creator. That they know that they have a creator. And it's only the worst and the most filthy of mankind who denied a creator, and in reality in their own souls they do not deny. They know they have a creator. They know they have a creator. So this is something that the people, they already know, that there's no creator except for Allah, that there's no provider and sustainer except for Allah. The problem that they have is that they direct the worship that is the right of Allah to others. And this was the call of the prophets and messengers. So the reality of a Tawheed is established by a nafyu wal ithbat. The reality of a Tawheed is established in all aspects. Is by a nephew what if bad. Especially the issue that he's talking about now. Who ifradullahi bil ibadah. At Tawheed, who ifradullahi bil ibadah. This is only established by a nephew what if bad, by negation and affirmation. How is the Tawheed of Allah established? How will one single out Allah alone for all actions of worship? This is only going to happen by way of negation and affirmation. Nafyun am with batun khas. Nafyun am wa ithbatun khas, a general negation and a specific affirmation. a general negation and a specific affirmation. This is the manner of establishing a tawheed. A tawheed means, again, to single something out. To single something out. So what we're talking about now is to single out Allah along with all actions of worship. So this is going to be by negation and affirmation, by declaring everything that's worshipped besides Allah to not be worthy of worship, and to believe that everything that's worshipped besides Allah is worshipped in falsehood and does not deserve to be worshipped. And everything that's taken as a god besides Allah, they're false gods, and they're not gods in reality. They're not true gods, and they do not possess divinity, and they do not have the attributes of perfection. Not one of them. Not one of them. Not one of them. And then, on the other hand, to affirm all of that for Allah alone. That Allah, He is the one who's worshipped in truth. That Allah, He alone is the one who deserves to be worshipped. That Allah, He alone, He is the true God who possesses divinity. So therefore we say that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. That there's nothing deserving to be worshipped except for Allah. That there's nothing worshipped in right except for Allah. That there's nothing worshipped in truth except for Allah. That there's no true God worthy of worship except for Allah. That everything that's worshipped besides Allah is falsehood, and only Allah alone is worthy of worship. And only Allah alone is worthy of worship. We understand this? The negation and affirmation. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. La ma'buda haqqun illallah. That there's no God truly worthy of worship except for Allah. Except for Allah. So this means that one, he must disbelieve in everything that's worshipped besides Allah by believing that it's worshipped in falsehood and not worthy of worship. And he must believe in Allah alone, meaning that Allah alone, He's the one who's worthy of worship, the one who created our eyes and provides for our hearing, the one who created our eyes and provides for our seeing, and created our ears and provides for our hearing, the one who is sending the rain from the sky in the most subtle and beneficial and gentle and beautiful manner, the one who's providing for us and sustaining us. All of these are, this is from Allah alone. He's the one who's worthy of worship. He's the one who's worthy of worship. Anyone who cannot send the rain from the sky, he's not worthy of worship. Anyone who cannot create human beings in the wombs of women, he's not worthy of worship. He's not worthy of worship. So only Allah, he's worthy of worship. This is the meaning of the Shahada, and this is the Tawheed that all of the prophets and messengers, they were sent with. That all of the prophets and messengers, they were sent with. So the issue of this tawheed, ifradullahi bil ibadah, it stands and is based upon negation and affirmation. An all-encompassing negation and a specific affirmation. All-encompassing negation, negating everything. Negating the right to be worshipped from everything besides Allah. No matter how great it may be. Not a prophet, not an angel, not a prophet, or anyone under them in status and rank. Not an angel, and not a prophet, and not anyone under them in status and rank is worthy of worship. Is worthy of worship. La ilaha. La ilaha. This is negation. All-encompassing negation. Illallah. But Allah, He is worthy of worship. Illa, except for Allah. Nothing has the right to be worshipped except for Allah. Except for Allah. We understand this point. All-encompassing negation and a specific affirmation. Negating the right to be worshipped from everything besides Allah, no matter how great it may be. No matter how great it may be. No matter how high and lofty it may be. Negating the right to be worshipped from that thing, regardless of what it is. And affirming it for Allah alone. For Allah alone. So this is what Tawheed is. This is ifradullahi bil ibadah. This is the first point. The second point, also to understand, these are principles here in reality in order to repel all shubuhat of the people of misguidance from the enemies of the Tawheed, from the mushrikeen of old enough today. Of old enough today. This is Tawheed. This is Tawheed. And this Tawheed here, ifradullahi bil ibadah, this is what Allah, He sent all of the prophets and messengers with. Alayhim as-salatu was-salam. All of them, they came with the same thing. From the first of them to the last of them. All of them were upon the same thing. From the first of mankind, Adam alayhi salam, to the first prophet and messenger, Nuh alayhi salam, all the way through the generations to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and after him, Musa and Harun alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam, until the final and the seal of all prophets and messengers, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From all of them together, they were sent with this same affair here, at Tawheed. And ifradullahi bil ibadah, to single out Allah alone with all actions of worship. This issue here has many evidences in the Quran and in the Sunnah. One after another, one could read. If a person wanted to gather all of them, it would take time to read all of them. But just to emphasize this issue, we read some of them. Some of the evidences from the Quran affirming exactly what he's mentioning in these two great beneficial statements right here. Allah, he says, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. That indeed we have sent to every nation a messenger. Indeed we have sent to every nation a messenger. أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. That you must, proclaiming, calling them, that you must worship Allah and stay away from all of the false gods. وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. And avoid and stay away from all of the false gods. The طَاغُوتِ in general, كُلُّ مَا يُعْبَدُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. The general understanding of the طَاغُوتِ is everything that's worshipped besides Allah. Everything that's worshipped besides Allah. So Allah in this verse, he's telling us that indeed he has sent in every nation a messenger. What did that messenger call to? أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ. That you must worship Allah. وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. And to avoid and stay away from all of the false gods that are worshipped besides Allah. We understand that? So وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ, this is negation. This is negation. Stay away from all of the false gods that are worshipped besides Allah. أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ. And to worship Allah. So then this is of this statement here of Allah Azza wa Jal is emphasizing that what the author is telling us is true. What the author is telling us is true. The author is telling us that Tawheed is to single out Allah alone for worship, and that this is what Allah has sent all of the prophets and messengers for. You understand? وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. Indeed, we have sent in every nation a messenger. What did the messenger say to them that came? أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. That you should worship Allah, meaning alone, and stay away from everything that's worshipped besides Allah. Avoid and leave everything that's worshipped besides Allah. Likewise, again, Allah, he says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبَلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ. Allah, he says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبَلِكَ, يعني يا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, مِنْ رَسُولٍ, that we have not sent before you. We have not sent before you, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a messenger, except illa nuhi ilayhi, except that we reveal to him, annahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budun, except that we reveal to him that there's nothing worthy of worship except for me, so therefore worship me alone. We see this? Wa ma arsalna min qablika min rasulin. We have not sent before you a messenger, illa nuhi ilayhi, except that we reveal to him, إِنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا, except that we reveal to him that there's nothing worthy of worship except for me, فَاعْبُدُونَ, so therefore worship me alone. So therefore worship me alone. So again, this is clarifying that the messengers, all of them, they were sent with the same message, أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. And that is the meaning of لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَاعْبُدُونَ. So therefore worship me alone. That there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Allah, he mentions, وَذْكُرْ أَخَ عَادٍ إِذْ أَنذَرَ قَوْمَهُ بِالْأَحْقَافِ وَقَدْ خَلَتَ النُّذُرُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, وَذْكُرْ أَخَ عَادٍ إِذْ أَنذَرَ قَوْمَهُ بِالْأَحْقَافِ. Mention and remember the brother of Ad. Who is the brother of Ad? Hud alayhi salam. And remember the brother of Ad, إِذْ أَنْذَرَ قَوْمَهُ بِالْأَحْقَافِ, whenever he was warning his people in the أحقاف, in the trails, in the sand trails in his lands. وَقَدْ خَلَتَ النُّذُرُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ. And the warners, who are the prophets and messengers, they had come before him and after him. What were they saying? أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. That you must not worship anyone except for Allah. That indeed I fear for you the punishment of a great day. So Allah is mentioning here that Hud, this is what he mentioned to his people, and likewise the messengers and prophets, those warners who came before him and after him, they all proclaimed the same proclamation and called to the same call. أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا Allah, that you should not worship anyone except for Allah. This is the توحيد. يعني ألا تعبدوا إلا الله يعني أن تفردوا الله بالعبادة. That you single out Allah alone with worship and تفردوه وتخصوه بالعبادة. That you single out and specify Allah عز وجل alone for all actions of worship. ألا تعبدوا, that you should not worship, this is negation. إلا الله, except for Allah, this is affirmation. So ألا تعبدوا, this is all encompassing negation, that you should not worship anyone إلا الله, except for Allah, specific affirmation. There's two points here in these verses here, and that is what the author summarized here. The first point is the meaning of tawheed, and that it is stands and based upon negation and affirmation, and that is to sing Allah alone with all actions of worship, and that's the meaning of the statement لا إله إلا الله. And the second is that's what all of the prophets and messengers they were sent with. We understand this. These points here are very important to have a sound creed, and to be also firm and steadfast upon that creed. To know the meaning of tawheed and the interpretation of it properly, and that this is the way of all of the prophets and messengers. That this is the way of all of the prophets and messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. This is in general. These verses here are mentioning what the messengers they said. Allah, He mentions in the first verse that we have sent in every nation a messenger. And the other verse that we have not sent any messenger before you except that we revealed to him. And then the third verse that we mentioned here was with regards to Ad and the Prophet Hud alayhi salam, and that Allah mentioned about him that him and the prophets before him and after him, they all proclaim the same proclamation. Then even in more detail, Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf, and likewise in Surah Mu'minun, and other than that. But if a person wanted to just read about this, let him read in Surah Al-A'raf, the stories of the prophets, and likewise in Surah Mu'minun. And Allah, He mentions whenever He sent each prophet individually, whenever He sent each prophet individually, what that prophet said, when the first thing that he said, Ya qawmi ubudullaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. You will find that this statement here is repeated time after time. This verse right here, Ya qawmi ubudullaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. Read the stories of the prophets in Surah Al-A'raf. You will find that Allah, He mentioned that He sent Nuh, and this is the first thing He said. He sent Shu'aib, He sent Salih, He sent one after the other. He mentions the prophets by name, and then the first thing that they all say, Ya qawmi, O my people, U'budu Allaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. O my people, worship Allah alone. You have no true God worthy of worship besides Him. Ya qawmi, O my people, U'budu Allah. What's this? Affirmation. Ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. You have no true God worthy of worship besides Him. This is negation. This is negation. So to emphasize even in more detail that the call of all of the prophets and messengers were to al-ikhlas. Ifradullahi bil-ibadah. Al-ikhlas fil-ibadah. To make all actions of worship sincerity for Allah alone. Ya qawmi, ubudullaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. This is very yani, beautiful and eloquent and very precise. اُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, worship Allah. مَا لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَهٍ, you have absolutely no, all the general encompassing, مَا لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُ, you have absolutely no God, no مَعْبُود, no مَالُ, nothing that's deserving worship and worthy to be worshipped and deified and surrendered to and submitted to and loved absolutely besides Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this statement here and is very beneficial. As I mentioned in the previous class, the author he didn't just begin yani with shubha. The title Kashf al-Shubuhat, revealing and uncovering and exposing the doubts, but he began with a beautiful introduction, which is in reality a reminder of those principles that will be a means to help a person avoid those doubts and stay away from them. So these points, we're going to touch on them in a bit of brief detail. And alhamdulillah, we have covered them in other classes, in other works. But the knowledge, whenever it is reviewed, it becomes firm and it becomes strong. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the lessons beneficial for us, and to make the knowledge a light for us and a proof for us and not against us. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.